We're in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. So we just talked about the law of faith in chapter 3. I'm going to read chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. I'm going to go on. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also described the blameless... Well, I'm going to stop in verse 5. Okay. What shall we say then? Verse 1. Was Abraham our father? What did he find in the flesh? Did Abraham find anything in the flesh? Any righteousness in the flesh?
Trouble.
He did find trouble. And don't we all find trouble? I mean, we talked about trouble in the flesh, you know. We talked about sickness and all that kind of stuff. But on the spiritual side, what is the flesh besides trouble?
Desires.
Yeah.
Worldly desires, worldly lusts, and the path of worldly stuff.
Yes. So who can say I'm a spiritual man because of the flesh, because of what I've done? Who can say that? Have you known anyone who seemed to think they'd found any spiritual thing by themselves? Oh, a lot of people think they do. Yeah. So, they have attained a higher standing with God than others. Have you ever known anybody with that attitude? I've attained a higher standing with God than you. Or, you have attained a higher standing with God than me. Have you known anybody like that? You have. Okay. I have too. One time I was told by someone that his wife was the most spiritual woman he knew. I just didn't know what to think of it. What does that look like? And what can that lead to? That attitude. Pride. It is pride. And what can it lead to? What kind of issues can that lead to? No. Yeah, Herman.
Private than almost anyone else. died without a preacher preaching his funeral and so forth. But I knew him. I knew him so well. I tried my best to get him to understand. Like you and I, he had open heart surgery. And I said, God has given you another chance. I don't know how long it will last. He had it just short before I had mine. But like I said, he recently died, and he died basically friendless because he tried to buy his way wherever he wanted to go. And that's so sad. It was his pride that was his downfall. And I have prayed for those who tried to help him, but none of us were able to.
Was he?
It's a reality.
Was he a member of the church?
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, did that pride cause issues in the church?
Everywhere he went. And for a time, he worshiped there in Fruitland where we were. But it's because he was unhappy for where he had been the last time. And then he got up and told the congregation that I had agreed to buy some property that he wanted. And there was nothing for me to do except get up and tell the congregation. That was not true. So he got mad. But that's a reality in our world. There are people like that. And Abraham was not like that.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Verse 2, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Verse 3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
Hey, I've got all that. Now you just read verse 3.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of verses that goes with that in Genesis 15, 5 and 6. And he took him as Abraham outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness.
That's right. Verse 4, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but debt. So who is the debtor? Who owes the money? Who owes the money? Who in this situation owes the money? So, who's the worker? All right, I'm going to make you answer the question. George, you look like you have an answer. Who's the worker, and who owes the money? Yes.
Well, I believe that what you're referring to is something kind of like a farmer. You hire someone to help him harvest his field. He makes the point that if you're working, you deserve to get paid for that. So it would be whoever is hired out. Now, when we talk about God and Abraham and so on, we can't do enough for it.
No.
To say that, what he has given us.
Right.
So righteousness is really the only way to get there, but belief.
Faith, yes. Yeah, so the worker would be us with this attitude. The worker would be us, and God would be owing us. Okay? my way to heaven. God, you're going to owe me. Ooh. Give me cold chills just to say it. That's a terrible attitude. About that. So we seem to have a contrast. Romans says it's not about works. James says you have to have works. So where does that come together? George?
Well, I'm not quite exactly sure. It might be confusing. But it says that Abraham figured God could rise Isaac. Starving in the desert, position right here to do something about it. And what God wants us to do, He said, if that's our last God, if that's our sure, then understand that He is going to provide for us and not to worry about it.
Right.
And that's where the faith comes into the purpose.
So let's turn to Matthew 25:33. I'm going to skip some notes and go to Matthew 25:33 because of what George said. Who will read Matthew 25:33 to 45? Okay, Joe's going to do it.
And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Keep going to 45.
Yes.
Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they themselves also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me."
Well, this has been a little confusing to me in the years past, how someone could say, "When did I see you naked and clothe you? When did I see you hungry and feed you?" They seem to not know they did it, but they did. And the other ones said, "Well, when didn't we do that?" So, we see people who are doing things, but it's really, I guess, not, they're not counting it. They're not looking at it. And see, we see people who are doing things, and they're counting it all. Herman.
Well, and I don't want to confuse it, but just from the past, I was preaching on, I guess, one Sunday a month in Tipton, Georgia. There were about 20 people who were in my class on Sunday morning. I was teaching the passages that you're teaching. You're doing a good job. I thought I was doing okay. In that class, there was a medical doctor, a member of the congregation, faithful in attendance and so forth. And when I finished a dissertation like we're doing here now, I said, "What did you learn from these passages from Romans?" And the doctor spoke up and said, "Some people are saved by faith, and some people are saved by works." And I thought, "Lord, I blew it. I don't know how." But that was not what I was teaching. But there are people who believe that. And there are not people who have no education. That's my point.
Sure.
In bringing this up, we have to really work with it. And there are people who really believe that. They believe that you're saved by faith, or there are people who
they're saved by faith or works?
By works.
By works, sorry.
And the reason they're easy to find is they will say things like this all the time. They'll say, well, you know, if I was just a little better, or if I hadn't done this or that, then things would have been better. The Lord would have blessed me, and so on. And that's indicative of being saved by works. And that kind of thing that comes out of your mouth all the time means you believe you're saved by works. Now, you may not like to hear that, but that's what you're saying.
Right.
Every time you say that, that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Doing good to build a list so God owes us, then that's not doing good for the Lord, is it? That's doing good for me. Encouragement is huge. I get encouraged just by seeing people here. Don't have to say a word. But anyway. So.
I think that I keep on thinking that I'm with everybody discussing. I totally think of Mary and Martha and the difference of the works there. You know what I mean? Martha is sitting back here trying to do everything by her works. And then, you know, Mary was fantastic woman, but she knew when to take time out and put her faith first because she needed to build it up and everything. That's what God wanted her to do, and then she sat there and had Jesus right there, and then Martha was back there complaining that Mary was doing nothing, you know, and then, because I see that there's, and this whole thing is self-seeking is the biggest part of pride. You know what I mean? It's all what you think is good, the best for yourself. You know, so it's like, Buckley talks about pride and everything, you know, at the beginning here and everything, it's all about self-seeking and the works in the world. You know, I've got to do this because, you know, it'll make me look good through the church. You know, you'll have people here like, I might do this, he works really well and everything. He must have good faith. But in the long term, as Joe said, you can see where you're, who is self-seeking and who is not, who is working for themselves and who is actually working for the Lord.
So there's a law. Buckley.
I believe the law of faith can also be called the law of love. And Jesus said, many will come to me in that day saying, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not heal the sick? Did we not raise the dead? And he said, I'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because they are self-seeking. They're doing it for their own benefit. Not because they love that person they're ministering to.
And not because of faith. Right. So if you have faith in God, I mean, you can't not. I mean, there's, first of all, you can't not love, right? And God is love. Or you cannot, wait. You can't not work. It's going to come because of your faith. And because God is love, you can't not love either. Unless you let the flesh control you.
Credit
here. I want it in heaven.
Amen. Can you cover?
scriptures all working together to define faith and works through the Spirit. And so anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the way you have given us to be righteous. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your Spirit. We pray, Father, you'll help us to pick up our cross daily and to deny ourselves and our flesh and to be led by faith and love in your Spirit. We pray, Father, that if we recognize in ourselves that we are relying on our works, that you would give us what we need, that you would help us. Father, we thank you for your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.